Today's shiur is Masechet B'Metzia Daf Pei Beis, and we will begin on Daf Pei Aleph Amud Beis, seven lines from the bottom. We learned in the previous Mishnah, Havei Alamashkin, Shoy Masachar. That means, if somebody lends someone else money, and the loiva gives the malva mashkin to watch, so the mashkins, what is the Shem Sochar's status regarding his responsibility towards that mashkin? He has the din of a Shem Sochar. Ask the Gemara, Lema Masnissim Deloy Krebe Lezer. Perhaps our Mishnah is not consistent with the opinion of Rebbe Lezer. The Tanya, the Brisa teaches us, Hamalvas Chavera Ala Mashkin. If somebody is the Malva who received a mashkin, Vavra Mashkin, and then that mashkin gets lost, teaches us Rebbe Lezer, Yishav v'yitl ma'yosav. The malva has to swear that he wasn't negligent, he wasn't posheya, and once he swears that he wasn't posheya, Yishav v'yitl ma'yosav, he's still entitled to get back for the loan that he made to Rebbe Lezer. Which obviously means that Rebbe Lezer is of the opinion that a malva holding a mashkin is a Shem Chinam, because if he were a Shem Sacher, a Shem Chasacher, we know, is responsible for Gneva Veda. The fact that it's adequate that he should just make a Shvu that he wasn't Pasheya, and like the Rishonim, the Chachroinim, actually, some Seifer points out, says it's not just he has to make the Shvu that he wasn't Pasheya, he also has to make a Shvu that he wasn't Sholayach Yad. He has to make a Shvu, as we've learned, Einoi Bereshusoi, that this item is no longer in his possession. But making that shvuah, which is the din of every shay mechinam, is adequate for him not to be responsible for the loss of the mashkin, and he now is entitled to collect the money owed to him. Divrei Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Akiva Omer, Yochel Loi Malach, the loiva could say to the malva who loses the mashkin, Klum Havisani Elahal Mashkin, I had a mashkin by you, and of the mashkin, if the mashkin got lost, of the Maisecha, you lose your money. So, Pasha Pshat, Rebbe Akiva's opinion, and we'll discuss this more in a moment, is that Rebbe Akiva holds that the Malva, who's holding on to the Mashkin, has the din of a Shem Masachar, and therefore he's responsible if Avar HaMashkin, if that Mashkin got lost. Ava, continues the Braisa, Halveu Elvzuz Bishtar, if this Halva was committed to a document, v'niach loy mashkin aleihem, and besides that being a document saying that the loiva owes the malva the money, there's also mashkin. There, says the Braisa, there is no disagreement. Rather, everybody holds the v'hakol over a mashkin over ma'isov. That if the mashkin is lost, he will lose the havah that's owed to him. And how do we understand this Braisa? What is the lomdus of this Braisa? Explain the Rishonim. A mashkin can serve one of two purposes. A mashkin could serve as a proof that the halva took place, that if the loiva were to deny that he borrowed any money, the fact that the malva is holding the loiva's mashkin is clearly an indication that there was halva, otherwise why is the malva holding his halva? Or a mashkin could represent a security, like if you borrow money, and somebody wants security to make sure that he's going to get back the money he lent you. So in the first case of the Braisa, that is exactly the machlokes of Rebbe Elazar Rabbanan. Rebbe Elazar says that the purpose of a mashkin is to be a proof that there was a halva. And therefore, the malva relationship to the mashkin is that he just the shem chinim of that mashkin. Rebbe Akiva's opinion, however, is that the mashkin is used towards payment of the loan. And therefore, his relationship to the mashkin, the malva's relationship to the mashkin, is one of being a shema sachar. Now we could understand the safe of the braitha. In a situation where a halva was committed to a shtar, so we don't need the mashkin to prove that there was a halva. The shtar does that very well. There, everybody, even Rebbe Elazar, will agree that the mashkin's purpose is to be a security towards the loan, and therefore, everybody will agree, Avad HaMashkin, Avad Ma'isav. But going back to the beginning of the Gemara, Rav Elazar says in a regular situation of Alvah, where it wasn't committed to a shtar, the Malva's relationship is only of a Shem Echinim, which seems to be contrary to what we learned in our Mishnah. Answers the Gemara, I feel it, Rav Elazar. There is a way to explain that our Mishnah should work even with Rav Elazar's opinion. V'loy kasha. Kasha mishkan b'shas alvasoi, kasha mishkan shloy b'shas alvasoi. If the mashkan was taken at the time of the halva, there Rav Elazar says the purpose of the mashkin is to prove that there was a loan, and that's why the malva is only a shem echinam. If, however, the mashkin was taken at a later date, in other words, simple situation where the malva wanted to collect his money and the loiv is not paying, and then he decides to take a mashkin, then the halacha will be that it, even Rav Elazar will agree. And that's the case that Rav Elazar is saying, is the Gemara saying, Rav Elazar says, our Mishnah is referring to, that it's not to prove there was a loan, because the loan already exists for a while, there it's to be payment, and therefore, he's a Shomer Socher. Ask the Gemara, how can we learn the Mishnah that way? For Idi Hilveu ala Mashkin Ketani. And the word Hilveu implies that when the loan was generated, not at a later date, the mashkin was taken, and yet the Mishnah says that the malva is a shem sachar, not like Rav Elazar who says he's a shem echinam. So the Gemara attempts a different way of explaining our Mishnah to be able to work with Rav Elazar's opinion. Aloi kasha, kan shalvei mos, kan shalvei peiros. In a situation where he lent him money, so there he's a shem echinam. If, and it's a situation where the malva gave payrus and he's getting back money, that's where the mashkin is considered a payment, it's considered towards a payment, and he's a shomer socher. Ask the Gemara, how can we say that the Tanakam Val Mishnah is only referring to a situation of Hilveu payrus, and that's where the Tanakam Val Mishnah says that the malva is a shomer socher, not where Hilveu mamas. But let's learn the Mishnah. But Maktani Seifa, as we continue learning our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda makes this distinction. He says, Havei mos, shem echinam, havei peiros, shem socher. It's the Rabbi Yehuda who makes that distinction. Mechlal, though the Tanakama, according to the Tanakama, loy shana loy, it doesn't make a difference. If it's mos or peiros, the halach is that he's always a shem socher. So again, how can we say that the opinion of Tanakama is consistent with the opinion of Rebbe Lezer? Because when we say that Tanakama and Rebbe Lezer will all agree there's a difference between Maas and Peiris, it's Rebbe Yehuda who makes that difference, not the Tanakama. Answers the Gemara, no. The way to understand the Mishnah is as follows. There is no machloikis between the Tanakama and Rebbe Yehuda. Kula Rebbe Yehudahi. The entire Mishnah is just representing the opinion of Rebbe Yehuda. There is no machloikis. And the way to understand the Mishnah is v'chsuri mechs v'achetani. Haveyu al-mashkin, the Mishnah teaches us a din. Haveyu al-mashkin, if a malva receives a mashkin, he has the din of being a shemes fachar. However, goes on the Mishnah to qualify, b'medvar mamurim, when does he have the din of a shemes fachar? Strictly, shelveyu peiris. Ava haveyu mos, there is a shem echinam. Why? Shabbi Yehuda Omer, there's a difference if Hilveu Mos is a Shem Echinam, Hilveu Peiros is a Shem Socher. Ask the Pnei Yeshua the obvious question. He's saying, our Mishnah, we learned the Mishnah just yesterday, is a simple Mishnah, teaching us a Nafgamina, a Machlok, Shabbi Yehuda, and Rabbonim. And it would be very easy, Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakama, and it would be very easy to say that the machloikis of Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakama is the same machloikis as Rabbi Elazar and the Tanak, and Rabbi Kiva. Why is our Gemara going through all of these attempts to say that there's no machloikis in our Mishnah, everybody agrees with Rabbi Elazar? Why not just say, very poshut, Tanakama is Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Yehuda is Rabbi Elazar, and no problem. Answer to Pnei Yeshua, because it isn't, even though at the end the Gemara is going to be this way, the Gemara is somewhat troubled, says the Pnei Yeshua, to say that the Tanakama follows the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. Because if you really think about it, says the Pnei Yeshua, Rabbi Kiva and the Tanakama are not actually identical. Tanakama says He speaks to what status, what category does a malva who's holding a mashkin fall into. And he says he falls into the category of a shabbat socher, not into the category of a shabbat chinam. But the Tanakhama isn't telling us that receiving a mashkin is considered that you got paid. Rabbi Akiva is a lot more extreme than the Tanakhama. Rabbi Akiva says it's not just that he's a shabbat socher. We view it as if he actually got paid. And that's why the Gemara is somewhat troubled, says the Pnei Yeshua, to have the Tanakh, to explain that the Tanakhama and Rabbi Akiva are exactly the same. And that's why the Gemara goes through all of these attempts to have the Tanakhama be able to be consistent with Rabbi Lez's opinion. However, says the Gemara, if that's what we're going to end up with, we have another difficulty. Yachi Kamalei Masnitzit Loi Rabbi Akiva. What we're going to be saying is, according to this pshat, there is no machlokes between Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda. Actually, there is no Tanakhama. It's all Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Lezer are consistent. And Rabbi Akiva is the opinion that our Mishnah isn't following, which is very hard to have. Because as Rashi explains, the Gemara teaches us Masechta Sanhedrin. Stam Mishnah, a Mishnah that's anonymous, is Rabbi Meir. Stam Sifra, a Sifra that's anonymous, is Rabbi Yehuda. Stam Sifri, Rabbi Shimon. Anonymous Sefriz Rav Shimon. And all of these Tanoim that these anonymous Brises and Mishnayis follow were all Talmidim of Rav Akiva. So to have a situation where our Mishnah, if it's is going to follow Rabbi Lezer and not Rav Akiva, is an untenable situation. So we have to go back to where we started, Al Machvat and Masnissen. We have to say that our Mishnah indeed doesn't follow the opinion of Rabbi Lezer, rather it follows the opinion of Rav Akiva. Says the Gemara. So since we began our Shia today, quoting the Machlokes of Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Akiva regarding how do we look at the Malva's position relationship to the Mashkin, and we have a very fundamental Machlokes, Rabbi Lezer doesn't give him the same high level of responsibility as Rabbi Akiva does. So now the Gemara is going to attempt to explain the basis of their machlokes. Says the Gemara, Lema b'deloy mashkin shizuzi. Maybe the case Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Lezer are referring to is that the mashkin the malva received is a lot less than the value of the loan. And what is the machlokes Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Lezer center on? But the Shmuel Kamifgi, they argue over a concept that Shmuel speaks about. Dama Shmuel, Hayman the Osvei Alpha Zuzel Lechavrei. Somebody lent somebody else $1,000, 1,000 zuz. Vanachlei, and the loiva gave the malva, kapta the magla levei. He gave him the handle of a sickle as the mashkin. So obviously, the value of that mashkin is a lot less than the value of the loan. Yet teaches us Shmuel, Ovid Kata the Magla, if the Malva loses that Mashkin, he doesn't have to get paid anything. Ovid Elf Zuzi. The whole loan is considered paid. And the Gemara is saying, Rabbi Kiva, who will agree with Shmuel's din, and Rabbi Lezer will not agree with Shmuel's din. Meaning, as the Rishonim want to explain it, everybody will agree that the Mashkin is equivalent in value to the loan. If you lose the mashkin, you lose your loan. Here, we're referring to a situation where the mashkin is worth less than the loan. What will be the din? And here we have a very fundamental machloikis, Rashi and Taisvis, and how to understand Shmuel's din is a very bechidish, and how to understand Shmuel's din. Rashi says that the case that Shmuel is referring to is where the malva received the mashkin, and nothing was said from the loiva to the malva, specifically, and then halacha is according to Shmuel, and the Ma'ad Gemara is suggesting according to Akiva, if the malva loses that mashkin, he loses the right to collect his debt. Rabbi Lezer will disagree, but according to Rashi, Shmuel will agree that if the malva is an intelligent, smart businessman, he's going to tell the loiva, just because you leave me a mashkin that's so much less valuable then the halvah, I'm not going to accept that if I lose it, that it should be considered as if the loan is completely paid off. There Shmuel would agree, he has a right to say it. That's how Rashi explains Shmuel din. Tosfos explains Shmuel's din just the opposite. He says, certainly even Shmuel will agree that if I lend you 1,000 zuz and you give me a mashkin that's worth nothing and I lose the mashkin, just because I lose the mashkin I forfeit the loan, even Shmuel would agree that's inconceivable to say that. What is the case that Shmuel's talking to, says Taisvis, where you, the loiver, expressly said to me, I'm giving you the mashkin. We recognize that the mashkin is so much less valuable than the loan. But I'm telling you that if you lose the mashkin, you're not going to be able to collect anything. And I, the malva, agree. And Shmuel's opinion is that it's not considered an asmachta, because I got the mashkin, so it's not a regular situation of an asmachta. And if I agree to it, and I actually end up losing the mashkin, I forfeit my loan. And the Rabbi Lazar says it's inconceivable. It's still an asmachta. Says the Gemara, Ibe d'loi shava mashkin shezuzi. No. If we're referring to a situation where the mashkin, as we've been discussing, is worth so much less than the value of the loan, kulam less of the Shmuel. And as the Ramban says, the Gemara doesn't want to have a situation where they're going to agree with Shmuel's din, which is such a difficult din to understand. Rather, v'hacha, what is the case and what is the basis of the machloikas between Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yitzchak, and Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Kiva, but the shavish yezuzi, where the mashkin is equal to the value of the loan. And what is the basis of their machloikas? They're arguing over Rabbi Yitzchak. So commencing with Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak says this din many times in Shas. Don Rabbi Yitzchak, menayel about choyv shikon mashkin. How do we know that the malva who receives the mashkin is halachically considered the owner of the mashkin? Shenema ilchati etzdaka em ena kona mashkin tzaka menolan. The Torah teaches us, pasuk in Torah, that says like this: if I, the pasuk says, after tarik beisecha, which means that if I lend a poor individual money and he gives me a mashkin, the Torah says if he gives me as a mashkin something that he needs to use every day, it's my responsibility to give it back to him every day. I could take it back at night, or vice versa. It's something that he uses at night and not by day. Every night I have to return it to him, and I take it back in the morning. Now the Torah says to that malva who acts that way, ulecha tiyeh tzedakah. And Ritva explains this beautifully. He says, you can't give tzedakah if it's not your money. So if the Torah says that the malva who's giving back the loiva every day, every night, his mashkin, is fulfilling the mitzvah tzedakah, it's obviously mine. If it weren't mine, if it weren't the malva's, I couldn't be doing tzedakah. That's how the Ritva explains. Taisus, the Masechta Gedushin, has a very interesting pshat. The Torah says, regarding that individual who I give him back every day or every night, his mashkin, uvarachecha, he'll bench you, he'll bless you for what you're doing. Says Taisus, if I, the malva, am not considered the owner, rather you, the loiva, still considered the owner, and I'm giving back to you your item, you know how to thank me. It's ribbis tvarim. We spoke about it earlier. The ribbis tvarim is the ribbis. So how could a Torah allow you, uvarachecha, to thank me? If I, the malva, I'm giving something to you that's yours. So we can understand why the Torah uses the words uvarachecha. You're thanking me. If I go and I give you something that belongs to me, and I give it to you, uvarachecha, I deserve a bracha. But if it's not considered mine, it's yours still, you're the loiva, how could you thank me? Elamai tzaraya, that it really becomes the malvis. And the Gemara is now suggesting that is the machloikis between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Lezer. According to Rabbi Kiva, it becomes the malvis, and according to Rabbi Lezer, it doesn't. There is a machloikis rishonim, machloikis rashi in Taisvis, when we say that it becomes the malva. How far does that go? Rashi says that it means that the malva is responsible for Gneva, Vaveda, and even Oinsen. Taisus isn't prepared to agree with Rashi. Taisus says the Malva will be responsible for Gneva, Vaveda, but not for Oinsen. Another interesting question that I saw Rabbi Yosef Shalnatanzon, Lember Garov, the Shoyal Meshiv discusses. He's saying that Rabbi Yitzchak is teaching us the Bal Choyv Kaina Mashkin, that the Malva becomes the owner of the Mashkin. asked the Shaila Meshev, what happens if a person gives me a mashkin, a lulav and esrig, dalam minim, and it's sukkis? Now we know that the Torah says that to be mekayim the mitzvah of dalam minim, it has to be v'lakachtem lochem, it has to be yours. And now Rabbi Yitzchak is telling us the Baal Choyv kind of mashkin, so could I use a mashkin that I received to be mekayim the mitzvah of dalam minim? So he says that the level of ownership that lochem requires is a higher level, a deeper level of ownership than just the level of ownership of a malva to the mashkin, and he cannot, and lchem is a very high level, very deep level of ownership, and you cannot be mekayim the mitzvah of dalam minim, even according to Rabbi Yitzchak, with a mashkin that you're holding. Another nice fart I saw, Chassidish Sfarim say this fart, balchoyv kind of mashkin. We all know that the mashkin, that the neshama that HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts into us is really a mashkin. It's something that we're holding on temporarily. We leave the world, we're going to have to give back the mashkin. But actually, they say, every night when we go to sleep, we give HaKadosh Baruch Hu back our neshama. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes back the neshama, and he gives back the neshama to us every morning. That's why we say Ma'ida Ani. That's why we say L'kai neshama. So, say this for him. That is supposed to be our attitude. We're supposed to, our attitude to the mashkin is the Baal Choyv kind of mashkin. Every night when a Kodesh Baruch Hu takes back our neshama, it's a mashkin. And it's really his. And we have uberachacha, and we have to thank our Kodesh Baruch Hu every morning when he gives us back, hopefully, our neshama. So, says the Gemara, the Tisbara, is that makes sense to say that's the basis of Machloek Sabakiva and Rebbe Lezer? Because even Rabbi Yitzchak, that says Bal Koiv Koina Mashkin, Eimed Am Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak was speaking about a specific situation. The Torah is speaking in that parasha to a specific situation. The Mishkanai Shloi B'Shas Havasai. The Torah speaks about a situation where you owe me money, where the Ani owes me money, and the due date comes, and he doesn't pay me the money owed, so I could send that I go to Beis Din. And Beis Din goes and extracts from the loiva mashkin. But Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Lezer asked the Gemara, aren't speaking about a mashkin that was taken at the beginning. Ava mishkin b'shas halvasai, a mashkin taken at the inception of the loan. Mi omar. So Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Lezer are speaking about a mashkin taken at the time of the loan. Rabbi Yitzchak is talking about a mashkin taken by the Beis Din. So obviously they can't be talking about the same subject. And therefore Rabbi Yitzchak's din cannot be the basis of the machlokes of Rabbi Kiva Rabbi Lezer. So in Mefarshim, there's a machlokes achroinim here. Clearly, Rabbi Yitzchak and everyone agrees that a mashkin taken at the inception of the loan, the mavel doesn't become the owner of the mashkin. On the other hand, a mashkin taken by Beis Din, because you didn't pay me what you owe me, so Rabbi Yitzchak teaches us, the mavel becomes the owner of that mashkin. What would be the halacha if a mashkin was taken from the malva, by the malva from the loiva, not at the time of the loan, but I didn't use Beis Din to get the mashkin. You owe me money, the due date passed, and I come to you and I say, you're not paying me, at least give me a mashkin. Will Rabbi Yitzchak's din apply that the malva becomes the owner of the mashkin? Or if it's not taken by Beis Din, Rabbi Yitzchak's din doesn't apply. And as I said, that is actually the subject of a machlokes achrayim. Ella, the Gemara says, we go back to trying to explain the machlokes of Kiva and Belezer. Ella, mishkan shloi b'shas halvasoi kulam isle d'Rabbi Yitzchak. A mashkin taken not at the time of the loan, everybody will agree that the malva is responsible, certainly as much as the shem sachar. V'hocha, b'mishkan b'shas halvasoi, I took the mashkin at the time of the loan. And the question is, how do we view the shomer of a mashkin? And it goes back to Gemara Sugya that we learned in Masechta Bava Kama. Ditmar, shomer aveda. Somebody who finds something that belongs to somebody else and he's watching it is doing a mitzvah. And we had in Masechta Bava Kama a big machloikus. Rav Amar, he's a shomer chinam. Rav Yosef Amar, he's a shomer sachar. That he's considered like a shomer sachar. Why? And as we explained, it's the we apply here the concept of Pruta de Rabbi Yosef. What does Pruta de Rabbi Yosef mean? we know there's a klal, there's a rule, of oisip a mitzvah, patim a mitzvah. So while I'm watching your aveda, I'm doing a mitzvah. And therefore, if an ani comes to me for tzedakah, I don't have to give it. So I am benefiting from the mitzvah. And that's why Rabbi Yosef says, there's a shayim asachar. How do we explain Rav's point that he's a shayim achinim? How much do I really have to do in aveda? Not that much. So a minute later, I'll have to give the tzedakah. So therefore, I'm not really benefiting, certainly not a benefit of a shava pruta by being a shomer aveda. Here too, there's a mitzvah to lend somebody else money. And therefore, the way most Rishonim explain the Gemara, when I lend you money, and then when I get the mashkin from you, and I'm busy with the mashkin, I'm doing a mitzvah, so I'm benefiting. And therefore, I'm a shomer sachar, says Rabbi Yosef, says Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Lezer says that I'm not. That's shot in the Gemara. So here we're applying the concept that since I'm benefiting, because if I'm busy with the Aveda, I'm busy with the Mashkin, I don't have to give tzedakah, so we have the concept of Ois G'mitzah, Patim G'mitzah. Just to mention a number of points. When we learned this Gemara, I once mentioned this question. Where do we say Ois G'mitzah, Patim G'mitzah? Asked the Mefarshim. When there's a mitzvah, two mitzvahs to do. So if the Torah teaches us, the halach is, if I'm in the middle of doing one mitzvah, I skip a mitzvah, part of my mitzvah, I don't have to do another mitzvah. But that doesn't allow me to do a lav. Not giving tzedakah involves a lav. So how could I hold back from giving tzedakah when I'm doing a mitzvah? It involves a lav. So there are a number of truths to that question. One truth to that question is, are not independent lavim. They're only lavin to make the essay stronger. When is something considered a lav? When it's an independent lav. The lavin or lois amitz and lois sikbitz only strengthen the mitzvah of tztaka. How important it is to do the mitzvah to save tztaka. And therefore they're not considered lavin. That's one teretz. Another teretz, a very important teretz, because every time you don't give somebody tztaka, you're playing with fire. You may be over a lav. Say the mefarshim, even if somebody doesn't give tzedakah, and I'm not condoning not giving tzedakah, if you don't give tzedakah because you don't want to give tzedakah, you don't have the ability to give tzedakah, you don't think you have the ability to give tzedakah, but it's not because you had a malicious intent, you're not over lois amitz lois sikbitz. You're only over lois amitz lois sikbitz if you're, so to speak, mean. Here in Dabach, this person needs tzedakah, and I don't care. So if somebody's oisik b'mitzvah, and that's why he doesn't give the tzedakah, he's not over like samitz and like sipitz. There's a very interesting point made by the Nesivis. Our Gemara is saying that somebody who lends money and takes care of mashkin is doing a garbage tzedakah. A person who's doing tzedakah is potter from ois b'mitzvah, potter from giving tzedakah. Says the Nesivis, that is only said to you, an individual. We, the individual, who have to give tzedakah, who have to lend money, rather than our Gemara. So a person who's doing that, oisik b'mitzvah, patur b'mitzvah. But let's say you're a gabbai tzedakah. You're an administrator of a tzedakah fund, even if you don't get paid for that job. And you're busy doing your job of running your tzedakah fund. Do you have the patur of oisik b'mitzvah, patur b'mitzvah? So he says not. It's only when it's your individual mitzvah, not when you're doing it because that's a job that you were appointed to. So now the Gemara wants to suggest, Lame de Rabbi Yosef. This concept that Rabbi Yosef says is actually a machloks tanoim, machloks of Rabbi Lezer Mekiva. Says the Gemara, no. B'shamer aveda, if I'm watching an aveda, says Rabbi Yosef, the kulam is like Rabbi Yosef, everybody will agree that I'm considered an oisim mitzvah potim in a mitzvah. Prut to Rabbi Yosef. V'hocha, b'mavet tzorach l'mashkin k'mefgi. Let's say you left the mashkin by the malva. And the malva is using that mashkin, and he's deducting for the right to use that mashkin from the loan. Now, here, says Rabbi Yosef, is where the machloikis of Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Lezer kicks in. It's an individual who's doing a mitzvah, but also getting benefit out of it, because I'm using this mashkin, considered an oisik b'mitzvah. V'hocha b'mel v'tzarach l'mashkin k'mefgi. Masava mitzvah kavid. Rabbi Kiva's opinion is I'm still oisik b'mitzvah. Shelveyu. Vav Hashem Asachar. I did a mitzvah of lending you money, and I'm a shayim asachar, because I'm benefiting from oisig mitzvah potem in a mitzvah. Or masavah, la mitzvah kavod. It can't be considered oisig mitzvah. I have personal use out of the meshkin. So I'm not a miskavin, and therefore I'm not an oisig mitzvah, and therefore I'm not benefiting that I'm oisig mitzvah potem in a mitzvah, the proof to the Rabbi Yosef, and that's why I'm considered a shayim mechina. So here we have a very important issue to discuss. Our Gemara is teaching us that if somebody is doing a mitzvah and at the same time he's also benefiting personally, we have a machloikas Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva, is he considered an oisig mitzvah potem in a mitzvah? And as the Mishnah Berurah in the Bi'ur Halacha says, it's a very relevant shaila. The issue comes up constantly. Let's say I'm a sofer and I'm writing Sefer Torah, Tefillah, Mezuzos, but I'm not doing it just because it's a mitzvah. I'm getting paid. That's my profession. Do I have the tour of oisig mitzvah potem in a mitzvah? Does it mean while I'm writing this stam, while I'm writing this Sefer Torah, Tefillah, Mezuzos, somebody comes knocking my door for tzedakah, do I have to give the tzedakah or not? Am I oisig mitzvah potem in a mitzvah? So the Bi'ur Halacha takes a very interesting approach. He says you have to look, and everybody has to be honest with themselves, what is the person's main intent? If my intent, says the Bi'ur Halacha, is really to earn a living. But I'm lucky enough to earn a living with something that is also a mitzvah. But really my main intent is to earn a living. I can't be considered an oisig mitzvah potem in a mitzvah. On the other hand, if my main intent is really to do a mitzvah, then I'll be considered oisig mitzvah potem in a mitzvah. That's the Bi'ur Halacha's approach. He says it's also relevant. The halacha is that you're not allowed to write stam Erev Shabbos after Chatzos. So now the question is, if I'm doing it as a mitzvah, so then I shouldn't do it. But if I'm doing it as a job, then I am allowed to do it. Rabbi Chanan in the Kaibetz Ha'aris has a very different approach to this. He says, and there's a very big nafka minil halacha. He says there's a difference between where your job is actually a mitzvah. There, says Rabbi Chanan, even if you're getting paid for that job, still will apply the concept of oisig mitzvah potem in a mitzvah, versus where your job is only a hechsher mitzvah, where there, if coupled with the fact that your job is only a hechsher mitzvah, you're also getting paid for the job, there you won't say oisig mitzvah potem in a mitzvah. And to bring us down, la'loch l'maisa. Let's say you have an individual who's a maggid shir, and he gets paid to be a maggid shir. But according to Rabbi Chanan, oisig mitzvah potem in a mitzvah, giving a shir, learning Torah, is certainly in a mitzvah. So even though this individual is getting paid to give the shir, oisig mitzvah potem in a mitzvah. Whereas writing, a cipher writing stam, that cipher is, yes, he's oisig the mitzvah, but it's only a hechsher mitzvah. The mitzvah is not the writing. The mitzvah is putting up the mezuzah. The mitzvah is wearing the tefillin. And therefore, if coupled with the fact that it's only a hechsher mitzvah, he gets paid for it, then Allah will be, we don't say, oisig mitzvah potem in a mitzvah. Says the Gemara. We learned in the Mishnah. Abishol Omer, mutar adam l'haskel mashkanah shel ani, leis poichas v'hoylech. Says Abishol, let's say an ani left a mashkin by me, and I feel bad that he owes me the money. So I could, says Rabbi Abishol, I could rent out that mashkin and take the money that I'm receiving for that rent and deduct it from the money I owe to the ani. Amrav Khanar bar Ami Amr Shmuel, Haloch Kabishol. However, says the Gemara, Vaf Abishol oy Amma, where did Abishol say his din? El Bemaru Pesvel Kardim, different types of shovels. However, Nafish Agrayu, I could collect a high rent. And there's very little depreciation. So this is wonderful for Ani that I rent out his mashkin. I'll get a lot of rent, which I'll pay back to him to use to deduct from the loan, and it really doesn't depreciate the mashkin. However, if he left by me a mashkin which depreciates significantly in use, there I couldn't rent it out, even though he could benefit from the deduction of the loan. Says the Mishnah. If I am carrying something from one place to another, a barrel, the shavra, and then that barrel breaks, says Rameya, Bein Shamechinam, Bein Shamechinam, whether I'm a Shamechinam or I'm a Shamechinam, Yeshava, I should swear that I wasn't a Pesheya, and I'll be free. Rav Elazar Omer, Zev is a Yeshava. Indeed, technically, halachically speaking, says Rav Elazar, Ramey is correct. However, for to me, I wonder if anybody could ever carry out the Shavuot. And the Gemara is going to explain all of these opinions immediately. So first the Gemara quotes a Braisa that brings in one more opinion. Tanabon, Hamava Chavos L'Chaverim Mokam L'Mokam, V'Shavroi, So Ben Shem Mechin and Ben Shem Sochi Yeshava, Diver Remeya. Repetition of Remeya's opinion. Rabbi Yehuda, a new opinion, says Shem Mechinim Yeshava, V'Shem Sochi Yeshalem. He makes a distinction between a Shem Mechinim, who there he agrees with Remeya, not by Shem Sochi. Rabbi Lez Oimer, again, the opinion we learned in our Mishnah, Zev is a Yeshava. Technically, Ramey is correct. However, comments Rabbi Lezer, but to me, Ani, Im Yechon Zev is a Yeshava. And that a Gemara explains. We learned a Gemara in Masecht Rabbi Kama about Dav Chav Tes, the Sugya of Niskel Pesheya. And as to review, it's anyway worth reviewing, what is the Sugya of Niskel Pesheya? One, there are really two parts to Niskel Pesheya, to the Shaila of Niskel Pesheya. One is if I'm walking with something and I stumble and the item breaks, so am I considered a Pesheya that I shouldn't have stumbled, I should have watched where I'm walking? Or, Nebuch, I stumbled, I'm not a Pesheya. That's part one of the Machloikas of Niskel Pesheya or Niskel HaPesheya. Then there's another question. So I stumbled and the item I carried fell and broke. And I leave it there where it broke. One mandamer says, I'm automatically mafkrit. I have no use for it. And another mandamer says that no, it's still not mine, it's still mine, and I will be responsible if somebody trips on it. Says the Gemara, our Mishnah, what's the case? The case is that this person, I'm carrying your chavis, and I tripped and it broke, and the Mishnah says, according to Ramey, all I have to do is swear that there was an accident, that I stumbled, and I'm potter. Obviously, Ramey is of the opinion in our Mishnah, lememer, the Sav Rameya, nishkala pesheyu, that if somebody stumbled, he's not a pesheya. Ask the Gemara, this is difficult to understand. But Tanya, the Gemara Masechta Baba Kama, we just quoted, says, Nishbar Kadav Lai Silkai, if somebody's walking with his barrel, and it breaks and he doesn't pick it up. Nafal gamav lo yamida, remei mechayi bezeikon, v'chacham poitri medina odom, v'chayi av medina shmayim. And when we learned the Gemara Masech, Baba Kama, the Gemara explained, what is the basis of this machloikus of remei and the chachamim, v'chayi malam bebenisko, b'sheya pligi, that according to remei he's a posheya, and according to chachamim he's not a posheya. So in our Mishnah, Ramey says that if somebody stumbles, and he swears there was an accident, that he stumbled, he's not a Pesheya. And there in Masechta Baba Kama, Ramey says just the opposite. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Tav Rav Misha Shana Zu, Lo Shana Zu. There's a machlokes tanoim what Ramey's opinion was. The Masechta Baba Kama, the Tana holds, the Ramey's opinion is, Niskel Pesheya, Masechta Baba Metzia, the Gemara holds that Ramey's opinion is the Niskel is La Pesheya. Now the Gemara continues to explain the other opinions. Vasar Yehuda Lameima, Shai Mechinim Yeshava. If this person carrying the barrel is a Shai Mechinim, Shvu is enough. Nice Socha Yishalim, but a Shvu Mesocha would have to pay. Why? Hai Kedinei V'Hai Kedinei. And as the Rishonim explained Rabbi Yehuda's opinion in the following manner. Rabbi Yehuda holds like this. A Shai Mechinim is only Chai by Pshia. Anything less than Pshia is not Chayiv. So according to Yehuda, if the Shai Mechinim swears that it was an accident that he stumbled, he's fine. But let's understand a Shai Mesachar. A Shai Mesachar, says Rabbi Yehuda, has a much higher level of responsibility. Why? Because we know he's Chai by Gneva Vaveda. Now this person that stumbled, we're not quite sure where is he. He's not quite a Pesheya, but he's not quite an Oinus. He's somewhere in the middle. But what is the din of somebody who's in the middle who's a Shem Mesachar? Just like a Shem Mesachar is Chayiv for Gneva Veda, he's also going to be Chayiv for somebody who's in between a Pesheya and an Oinus, and that's what Rabbi Yehuda says, a Shem Mesachar Yishalim. Now let's understand Rabbi Elazar's opinion. V'as Rabbi Elazar Meir. In Gemara Kerameya. It makes sense to follow Rameya's opinion. However, comments Rabbi Elazar, or me, to me, ani, im yichayon zev ezel shava. It's difficult to understand if such a shvu could be made. And Rabbi Elazar explains himself. All Hashem Echinim has to swear is that he wasn't by Shea. That he stumbled. He wasn't negligent. El Hashem Sachar Amay Mishtaba. How could he swear? Because even Kiloy Pasha, even he wasn't negligent, that isn't enough to take him off the hook. Nami Shlomi Boy. And now Rabbi Elazar says, if you think about it, Vafil Hashem Echinim Nami. Hotin of a Makam Madrin. If he was walking on a slope, so it's very likely that the person walking on a slope is going to trip. However, Shloim Makam Madrin, if he was walking on the straight, level ground, can he really be that certain that he wasn't negligent? He was walking in the straight street. Furthermore, says Rabbi Elazar, Vafil Makam Madrin Nami, even if he was walking on a slope, Hotinach Hechad Lekaraya, if he's walking in a place where there are no Edom, if he's walking in a place where there are other people walking, just making a shvua, says Rebbe Lezer, is not good enough. Why? The Tanya, Isi ben Yehuda Omer, Ein Raya, Shvuas Hashem, Ti ben Shneyem. Hayesh Raya, Yavi Raya. Now the Gemara is introducing to us a whole new concept. We know that the Torah many times teaches us that a shomer has to make a shvua. Teaches us Isi ben Yehuda. The only time that a shomer makes a shvua is in a situation where there are no edim. But if there are edim, a shvua won't do. And therefore, says Rabbi Elazar, yes, this person's a shomer chinam. Yes, this person walked and stumbled. But if he was walking in the Rishus HaRabim, where there are other people seeing what happened, a shvua isn't good enough. He has to bring edim. Therefore, says Rabbi Elazar, maybe technically Ramei is correct that Yeshava, he should make a shvua. But if you start eliminating all the different situations that he walked in the state place, he walked in a place where there are Edom, there's almost never going to be a time that even according to Ramei, he could fulfill making a shvua.